Well, we're going to be still looking in the direction dealing with demons, evil spirits, all these things. We're talking about these things. One of the things we've been teaching on, we haven't got over, I'm going to begin eventually, I don't know if maybe next Sunday, talking specifically about the armor of God. We're going to find out the armor, you know, sometimes people focus on the armor more than they do what it's about. You need to understand the armor is about the Word of God. If you've been listening to the teaching so far, I've been trying to put armor on you.
That's right. Amen.
We're teaching how it works. Mm-hmm. And you could take a soldier, you know, when I went in the military, you know, they trained us on different weapons and different things. I mean, they could hand you a weapon. You didn't know nothing about it. It didn't do you any good.
Amen.
You know, it's understanding specifically about things. I'm going to go to the scripture this morning we have been using in Ephesians, the sixth chapter, reading there. There's some things we want to talk about, a couple things we want to say about concerning was last week's teaching. When we, in the Ephesians, in the sixth chapter, we had looked at this. It says, in verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." We have discussed that already. When it's talking about being strong in the Lord, it's putting our faith. It's about being in faith and walking. That's how you trust the Lord. You can't be strong if you're not in faith. We're believing what God is able to do, not what we're able to do. See, we're believing in God to put us over in something. We're living, when you live in the areas of faith, you're living in the areas of the unseen. And when you're dealing with demons, you're dealing with unseen. Now, sometimes God can do things or manifest things that a person would see certain things. But 99% of the time, that ain't what happens. You're walking out, you're dealing with things in the unseen realm. So you got to get yourself thinking like that. That's what you're doing. So you need to walk by faith in the Word of God. So you know what you need the Word of God, your enemies you're dealing with. And he says there to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil against the wiles of the devil. Or these methods or the trickery of him is what that word also means. It says, now it says you got to put on the whole armor for this purpose. It's the armor of God that you may be able to stand in the this day that comes along. This against the wiles of the devil. So the purpose of the armor is so you can stand. If you don't have the armor, you can't stand.
Amen.
So it says, what do we wrestle? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. In other words, we're not wrestling against people, but we are wrestling against something. Against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenlies. And when Kenneth Hagin, Jesus appeared to him and told him, he said, in the earth, we deal with the first three types here in the earth. He said, in other words, we see the last one. It's the rulers of the darkness of this world. Understand, man's authority is in this earth. It's not outside of this earth. It's in this earth. So the beings that operate, the spiritual beings that operate in this earth is what we're dealing with. We're working with these beings here. You know, concerning men here, whichever you bind on earth will be bound. He didn't say, what you bind in the heavenly, up in the heavens, where God. No, he didn't say that. He said, the earth, down here, what we're dealing with, what we bind and what we loose. So we understand, we're dealing, the Bible says, we're dealing with authority. Heaven is waiting on the earth. We initiate these things. We initiate it. The church generally teaches God initiates it. So people are waiting for God to initiate something. They're waiting for God to do it, and it doesn't work that way. But generally, that's the way it's taught, you know. Well, we're just going to wait to see what God does. And, you know, I had one time a spirit-filled Christian asked me, you know, to pray about a certain thing. And then she said, but I only want what God wants, you know, out of this. And I said, when you find that out, let me know. You know, I mean, she's spirit-filled and everything else. She's a Rhema graduate. You know, don't mean if you sit under good teaching, you got any sense. You might not have listened to none of it. And said, well, whatever God wants. Well, you can't have faith and you don't know what God wants. If you don't know what He wants, you can't have faith.
Amen.
It's a good time to find out. But people sit around, ask things, and it's like, my words, you know, if I know the person was taught a whole lot better than that. But Well, what God wants. But to them, that was a spiritual thing. You know, I'm being humble. That wasn't humility. What they didn't realize, they were bound by the devil in a way of thinking. They had received a way of believing it wasn't Bible. Where'd they get that from? Well, you can get from God. Where'd they get that idea? Somebody's deceived somewhere. And that person listened to it. See, I see people, well, I don't want anything in life what God wants me to have. Well, put down the list that God does want you to have and don't. Write the list. The person will write three things. They don't know anything else. When people say that, it is a sign of ignorance. They don't realize it. It's a sign of ignorance. Because if God don't want you to have, wouldn't you want to know what God don't want you to have? Wouldn't you want to know what He wants you to have? Wouldn't you want to know that? And then people talk about faith. Well, you can't talk about faith in that. You can't go there. So, we dealt with Apostle Paul and we found out he had to grow up just like you and I do. He needed revelation. And we looked at 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and we read about the Apostle Paul there. We're not going to read the whole thing, but he had a problem that God revealed things to him. And in 2 Corinthians 12 chapter and verse, I'm going to read verse 7 there. Start 7. It says, he said, "Least I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelation. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure." And we found out with that, one of the things is dealing, and I want to bring that back again, is if that their definition of that word, dealing with above measure, is the word there, the Greek word, it actually has two different meanings to it. And everybody takes the meaning to it that it means to be puffed up and haughty and everything. But that isn't what God's talking about. Why would God give you revelation and then not you want to be able to present it or give it? Who wants to stop revelation? You need to understand this. The Word of God is light. The entrance of the Word gives light, the Bible says. So if God is trying to stop the Word going forward, God is the promoter of darkness. Well, He would be, wouldn't He?
Yes.
If He wants to stop light, well, God ain't in the stopping light business. He wants it to go forth. Why would a messenger of Satan, and I want you to understand this. Now, I'm going to go into a lot about this, but, concerning demons and angels and all this stuff, but demonic angels, the angels that fell, there's all kind of, if you look in all the different, I call them theories. I mean, the church has all kind of stuff that are theories that a little is said here, a little is said there, and people build doctrines and write books. I mean, there's just new books have just been put out by major ministers on sets. And I'm going to tell you what, 90% speculation. Because we didn't know any scripture to back it up. Now, it sounds good and everything, but it's good to have the Bible. But you know what happens? They don't realize this. But getting into all this speculation, they get into what is not important. Because what they talk about with angels and demons and stuff like that, it ain't going to help your faith in this life. We need to know, because people say, well, where did demons come from? And this, the Bible doesn't deal and isn't specific about a lot of stuff. It's number one, I don't know where all the Chinese came from. Do you? Well, I'm living in this world to deal with them. I don't have to know where all of them came from. Do I? You see, people get into all this stuff. People love to hear this kind of stuff and they love to get into it. And here we have a messenger of Satan. Now this word here, messenger, I found interesting. I'd never studied this before. But the word messenger in the New Testament, this word that is used for messengers is the Greek word angelos. It actually has two different meanings. One of them is messenger and the other is angel. Whenever you read in the New Testament, when you see the word angel, it's that word. Well, I never really looked through in all of its usage and where all it was used. And I found this out, that word is used when it's talking about a specific human being and uses the word messenger, that's the only time it is. This is the only time it's talking about a messenger of Satan. Well, I know this has to be talking about an angel because of this, from this standpoint, a demonic angel, from this standpoint. If it was an actual person, Paul would know his name and who it was, and he'd have been complaining to God about this guy. Well, it's not. This is an angelic being. Now, it's hard for the church to do this because why? The church, the apostle Peter in 2 Peter, I think it's 4:4, said, he talked about the angels were cast down to hell and held in chains. And then in Jude made mention, and he didn't say cast down to hell, but they're held in chains of darkness. You need to understand this. Them being held in chains of darkness, you were held in chains of darkness when you were a sinner. Were you in hell? Well, see, they might have been cast down, but they operate. See, people say, well, all the angels are cast down. Well, that can't be. Lucifer was an angel. Is he bound down in hell? You know, we need to get around a little bit. But see, people teach this stuff, and they say, well, you know, that the angels aren't the demons that any of those we're dealing with on earth. Well, I'm sorry, Satan was an angel. See, people teach a lot of different things and say, but it's good to compare Scripture with Scripture. And so we're dealing with things. And so angelic beings, we know that certain ones, they fell and that kind of stuff. But in other words, this is a satanic being. This is a being in darkness. And everywhere Paul goes, he stirs people up. But what's behind the people getting stirred up is this demonic power. And I'm sure of this, that he is probably this one that he was given is probably one of these ones that are that it lists here as against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And that they're rulers of the darkness of this world mean world rulers. Now, this guy isn't some little devil over here doing something. This is a major thing. If we look at Paul, at everywhere that Paul went, I mean, you know, Paul tells all the times he was beaten and all that stuff, but yet we don't have record of when most of that happened. There's no record of it anymore. We have a couple places where Paul was beaten and stuff, but the majority of it, we don't. In other words, he didn't write down all the occasions and all that took place and why it was happening to him. But we know this, the devil wanted to stop the revelation from going forth. And so we looked at last week in this fact, and understand about yourself, Paul goes on to talk about the fact that he asked the Lord three times to get rid of this guy, and his Lord's answer is, my grace is sufficient, Paul. Well, see, Paul had to learn something, and Paul learned something in this. In other words, God has graced you to deal with the devil. He's graced you. I'm just going to say this. When Jesus Christ appeared to Kenneth Hagin, and he told him this, he said, you're wasting your time praying and ask the Father or asking me to do anything about the devil. He said, you're wasting your time. And Kenneth Hagin said, oh Lord, I have wasted a lot of time. See, up to that time, people, that revelation had been lost. Now, it's always been there in the Scripture, but what happens is people get taught certain ways, and they read the Bible, and so it goes on, and people turn around and teach things, and most people don't read for themselves. They don't sit down and read the Bible and go through it and study it. You got to sit down and study and look at the things. You know what? You can't exist just listening off to other people's teaching. You can't do it. If you don't study yourself, you're limited.
Amen. Preach.
You can't do it. You can't do it. But most people, that's what they're doing. They're just trying to live. Somebody else preaches what they say. Well, I'm going to just tell you this. God will take a subject and he might have somebody hit on a certain thing here and there. But I found this out. Very seldom do you ever hit on the whole subject. I mean, most churches you'll go to, you get a different sermon every Sunday. They don't cover subjects at all. And if they do to cover subjects, they get somebody's quarterly or something like that, and they do a thing out of it, and whatever else you might end up with. But you're going to have to study. You're going to have to take down and take the time to look into the Word. Amen. And over time, I found this out. Over time, I can teach the same subject, and no matter how many times I teach it, I always learn things about that subject I didn't know before. Amen. Every time. Every time I get things out of it. See, I didn't see that one before, and here's this. And so you go over and get that. And so you have to study. You have to study to see. So you want to do that. But Paul came to the thing, and that's why writing here to the church at Ephesus, he tells them to be strong in the Lord. Why? He learned this here. Because see, Ephesus was written to after the 2 Corinthians thing. So he learned, got a revelation, and he's telling them. Hold it. You know what? Paul didn't have the armor on. You know what? Paul knew the word and stuff like that, but there's something he didn't know. And so he's trying to get God to do. And so without that knowledge, he can't stand like God wanted him to. So he got a revelation. So, you know, why a lot of the church world doesn't like this kind of teaching? Because it puts a responsibility on them. And most of the church, and even most ministers, don't want the responsibility. They're, no, God will take it. He's in control. He'll take care of it. He'll, you know, you just trust. You just pray and tell God to do it. And so on this side, people, and I'll tell you, this is a huge thing of revelation. I mean, when I came into the kingdom, thank God they were teaching on the lines of our responsibility as a Christian and believing God and walking by faith. What our responsibility is, I'm so glad that that was taught so well in those days. You know, we had a lot of good, you know, you had Dr. Roy Hicks, you had Charles Capps and different, all these people teaching on these areas about our responsibility, our place. And what happens is the devil, you know, you get over there and, you know, the devil starts bringing in doctrines. The devil starts bringing things starting to change. Things starting to, people get things, and after a while, people aren't walking in the light of the truth. They're not walking where they're supposed to be walking. So they people aren't being able to see. So we want this morning, we're going to go down here and look here, because one of the things we have is dealing with the devils, and we read this last week. The Bible tells us in James, we ran James 6 and 7, it says, but he gives more grace. Well, Paul, see, as we told Paul about the grace. Since he gives more grace, therefore he says, God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. Therefore this, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. From you. He's going to flee from you. You submit to God. You have to do the resisting. You're going to have to do the resisting. God does not resist the devil. You do. He will bring things to you. Did you ever notice Jesus was tempted. He had to resist the devil. So, yeah, but he was the Son of God. He was a man operating in the earth. He wasn't acting like God because he was on a 40-day fast. You know, God don't fast. If you up to heaven, I don't know if they're eating, the God's eating anything. I don't know. Nobody ever told me anything. So I don't know. But we need to know and understand this kind of thing. So we resist. We're the ones. Why? Submit yourself to God. In other words, you're going to have to be submitted to God. That's one thing. You can't resist the devil if you're not submitted to God. Amen. You're going to have to do that. How do you do? You submit to His Word, to what His Word says. You can't submit to God and not be submitted to His Word. That's Amen. Just how you do it. Amen. So, you find out what the Word says on these things. This is going to be dealing, when we deal with the armor of God, you're going to find out. There's things that you have basic knowledge of, you're going to have basic knowledge of to stand. You're going to have to do that. In fact, we read Ephesians, the 6th chapter, there in verse 13 says, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. So in other words, he says, I always think it's interesting, we'll talk about that later on, not today, but he says, when you've done everything, have you done everything? Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought that was God's job. Mm-hmm. Now, when you've done everything, then what do? You stand. Well, what's the everything? Talk about what you got to do. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about these things, about knowing what. Jesus was tempted by the devil. What was his response every time? The Word. Did he just think it? Should I tell you what? You can't resist evil without your voice. This is what people are doing. Oh, the devil's bugging, pray for me. You can pray all you want. You've got to talk to it. You've got to lift your voice and say, devil, this is what the Word says about me. I ain't going your way. If you don't start using your voice, this is one of the great problems in the church. People say, well, people think I'm crazy talking to myself. I ain't talking to myself. I'm talking to the devil. Just because you can't see him don't mean he ain't here. All it means is you're a fool. That's the only thing it means. I'm going to tell you, there's invisible beings and you better talk to them.
Amen.
Our power in the spirit realm is to speak. And people aren't doing that. They ain't speaking. They're just telling God, do something about this. God, would you please fix this? Would you do that? Would you speak those things? And so Jesus used words, and we find out you can too. You can use words. And Peter, in 1 Peter 5 and verses 8 and 9, he said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." He's looking for somebody to mess up. Somebody. He wants to devour somebody. He wants to ruin somebody's life. He wants this. He walks around what? As a roaring lion. So he's making sound. He'll make sound to you. He'll say things to you. He'll bring thoughts to you. He'll bring things to you. He'll bring people to you to bring sounds and talk. No, nobody ever got deceived by what they never heard.
Right.
See, the power of saying, the devil is a perfectionist at this. He is very highly skilled at talk. Mm-hmm. He is highly skilled at this deception. You need to get highly skilled at picking up deception. You need to do that. You know, it's just like armies. Put on the armor of God. You know, whoever the best fighters win. It isn't who just has armor.
Amen.
You need to understand that. See, it's a lot of people, you know, they're not winning. They're just, you know, they're going along. They're trying to get God to give them the victory, what they already have the victory over. Now, we looked at the fact that Satan is a defeated foe. He is defeated. And we looked at Scripture. He is already defeated. Get that? You can't stand if you're trying to defeat him, because from a natural standpoint, you can't do it. Naturally, you can't. Well, didn't Paul find out? You can't naturally defeat. It's not going to work. You need to get that in your mind. It's a whole different thing. As you're a mindset that you already, this enemy's defeated.
Yes, that's right.
Now, I'm not trying to feed him. I'm just going to keep in, listening to his stuff. Why? He keeps wanting to get the war going, you know? You know, when the Second World was over, they talk about, you know, I mean, even in some of the German troops that were out in different places, some of them were still fighting the war and over in Japan on the islands. You know, it wasn't real long ago they found a guy in the Philippines that was hiding on an island. It's a really isolated island. He still thought the war was going on. He's an old man. But see, nobody gave him the message. So he's still fighting a war. That's the church today. They ain't heard the message. Well, it is. I mean, the church has existed 2,000 years and people today are still don't know the war's been won. They don't know. They aren't taught that the war, they ain't got the communique. It hasn't showed up yet. Yeah, I was reading an article here back, you know, a number of months ago, but it was a guy in the Philippines. And here they went from, people would, all these years, people run village, some small villages that were on this island. They would have things stolen and taken, but people couldn't, all these years, people couldn't figure out what was happening to this. And it's been going on for years and years and years on end. And all of a sudden they found this guy. And they took him back to Japan and he found, you know, they ended up catching him, taking him back to Japan. He still didn't believe the war was over. They had taken him back to Japan and proved the war was over. It was just like all these years. Can you imagine living like that? He's still in a hideout trying to, you know, he's not going to surrender. He's not going to, you know, going to, living a life when he could have been living a great life. Well, what about you? What's the devil been stealing? He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. What has he been stealing? What's he been doing? That's what he does. How does he do it? Through deception. Gets you to believe the wrong thing.
Amen.
You know, a wonderful brother, you know, in the ministry in the Lord and that stuff, and years died of cancer. And, I mean, spirit-filled man just, but, you know, I thought about it. His wife said this to me. She said, he thought God was going to, would heal him. And I didn't say anything because I figured, going back through it, I thought, God's already healed. God healed him. He's waiting. He's not walking by. He doesn't believe he has it. He never believed it. See, he believed God heals. Well, what do you stand on? Why do you believe God will heal you? Because you're going to do something great, or you're going to do something marvelous, or whatever it is. See, he was believing God. He wasn't believing that Jesus already took his infirmities and bore his sicknesses. He didn't believe by the stripes of Jesus he was already healed. And I thought, you know, what's sad? I mean, you get a person, and I mean, wonderful Christian brother. Wonderful. I mean, He did so much from a ministry standpoint, just did wonderful stuff. And you stop and think, dear Lord, those simple truths, why? Now, whether you like it or not, he was deceived. There was revelation that was kept from him. Do you think God wanted that kept away from him? Well, most of the church does. Well, see, Paul, God will give you a devil so you can you get revelation. No, that revelation. Just think of how many people today in the church world that revelation's hidden from. People trying to believe God for healing instead of believe they have healing. Oh, he gave it to me. Thank you, Lord, for healing me. Everybody's waiting for something in the natural to see, feel, or then they're going to believe it. The natural realm. And they talk about faith, but yet faith has not been entered into yet. Amen. Faith is believing what I can't see, what I don't feel. Amen. It's true. Amen. What a marvelous thing. But see, God made it. This is equal to everybody. The guy who's the genius, who has gone to college to study all this, whatever it is, he doesn't have a better chance at this because this deals with the unseen realm. He ain't got a better chance at it. Ain't got no better chance. So the guy sitting down here don't know much at all, ever went to school. If he believes what the truth says, it works. I mean, it's an absolutely wonderful, wonderful thing, a plan that God got. Well, what does he say? How do you resist the devil? See, we were told resist the devil, he'll flee. Peter says resist him steadfast in the faith. Actually, the word in the faith isn't there. It's the word faith. Resist faith in faith. What it means to resist in faith, it says the faith. Well, what is the faith? See, most people read the faith, they think, well, I'm a Christian. Well, that's not. What are you specifically doing? Faith is specific. The Bible tells you specifically what to believe to be saved.
Amen.
I like that because then I don't have to think something up or try to come up to figure out something. It's just simple. When I first got the revelation of healing, I was already healed. That was a simple revelation to me, and it's like, change. Man, what I thought about it after that was it. Why? Amen. That revelation came. It was specific.
Amen.
It wasn't general. It was specifically how to receive it. And I'm like, wow, this may, I get it.
Hallelujah.
See, it had to be simple. There's a whole lot of stuff you got to do. We're in trouble. But resist, steadfast. Why? In faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So you're not off out here somewhere and you're just in some bad spot. And see, this is one of the great deceptions. The devil, see, nobody understands my problem. That boy, I'll tell you what, right there, the devil has deceived more people into that and keeps people in bondage. Mm-hmm. And people say, they get over there and they're bound, down there, they need help. No, they need to get out of their self-centered things, me.
Mm-hmm.
See, my problem in life, I'm just this poor old person over here and I just, nobody understands me and nobody knows. I've had people come and tell me already, that nobody understands him. I said, well, why'd you come to me and talk to me? No, you just said nobody understands you. So that's your confession. So why would I listen?
Come on.
What's the point? Why would I listen? You said I won't understand. Well, no, see, what they don't, they got deceived. They're demonically, see, people don't even, well, I don't let the devil bother me. I'm sorry, I already got you. Mm-hmm. In that area, he got you. He got you in a way of thinking to keep you trapped. But you need something special to get delivered. I don't need something special.
Amen.
I was delivered.
Amen.
From the powers of darkness. Anything that tries to hold me bound is darkness. People don't identify. You got to identify darkness. Whatever is trying to hold you is into something. It's darkness.
Yes.
That's what it is. It is darkness. Darkness is always the devil. Who rules that darkness? Is it God?
No.
So whatever tries to work to keep you bound, you need to identify it. It is darkness. You know, you need a special fix. This is what's wrong. And, you know, nobody else got this, and you need a special fix. All these things to keep you over in that area of darkness. Just to keep things just out of reach for you. You just can't quite reach it, you know. See, I got this special problem. I got this. You gotta walk in the light. Well, we have we talked about this. I'm going to read it again, but in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, we read some scriptures here, 3-5, which I'm going to just quick go through. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." See, we're down here walking around. We're in a physical body walking down here. But our war is not in this fleshly realm.
Amen.
What is the major problem is the unseen realm's influence into this realm. Now, we want God's influence in here. We want the influence of God's angels. We want their influence into here. But there are manifestations. Verse 4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God." For what? The pulling down of strongholds. And what does he say? "Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." See, there's going to be things and thoughts. There's things going to come. If you don't know what the Word says, you may very well yield to those thoughts. You always find out those people that think that they're just special, their problems, they don't know the Word. Mm-hmm. They don't know that. It doesn't mean it hasn't been preached to them. What happens is they gain this certain belief, and even when they hear the Word preached to them, because of their darkness, they can't hear it. Yeah. They can't hear it. They have accepted the fact, "Well, I got this great problem, and you just don't understand me, and you just don't." You see, people get over in ways of belief. I use a story of a minister, a friend of ours in ministry, for years ministered and that stuff for him. But his wife came down with rheumatoid arthritis, but I mean really severe stuff. I mean, she's in terrible, terrible shape. And they had asked about her, you know, and that stuff and things and... I had prayed about her and things and that stuff. And finally come to the thing, I really got a strong sense of me. This is dealing with something demonic. God, what is this? This is a problem. It isn't the fact that she's, you know, messed up. Sometimes you don't know how, you know, a demon sometimes gets involved in a thing with a person. But she was there. And so I went to them and talked to them about it. Well, I realized you can't minister to them. This is what they received. "You're a Christian, you can't have a demon bugging you." And you couldn't talk to him about that. And she died. And then they said, "Well, you know, God gave us this." They had this called, I haven't heard it for a long time. It's called a hallelujah diet. Some guy got a hallelujah diet. What is it? What it was a vegetarian diet. And the hallelujah diet, and God gave it, and if you eat this thing, you'll be healed or whatever. And they bought this thing, you know. And we came, and they bought it, and... Even the doctor, she'd go to the doctor, and the doctor would tell him, "Man, she can't keep eating this diet. She's not getting protein in her body. She's not getting her in or eating this stuff, and she's not." But you know, they're going, "Well, God gave it this diet." Well, God didn't give that diet. You know, God may have told that guy he needed to eat it, because, you know, for his problem, whatever. But you know, they people can write a book, and everybody else says, you know, "Go eat this diet." Well, whatever, she ended up dying off of there. But what happened? What did you know? They're in darkness. They received a teaching that a Christian can't have demonic problems. You can't. Well, man, you're susceptible now. And here his wife, you know. And they wouldn't take, you know, well, they didn't want to take the medications and that stuff that for it and things because they said, and here she's dying. Dear Lord, is anything worse? Can a medication be worse? I mean, it's like, give me a break. See, darkness will have you do the dumbest things. They died, but she died because of darkness. See, no matter how much they're Christians, they believe something that was not true. Mm-hmm. That just because a Christian that we got this diet, you know, and people said, you know, I thought it was interesting. I was just reading an article about a certain medication. They came out with this new medication. And they said they give the medication... They do the blind studies, you know. They give people the medication, and then they have a group that don't get the medication. They think they are, and the side effects in the placebo were greater than the side effects of the actual medication. Hold on, I'm going to tell you what. The devil is ruling and reigning in a lot of people. Is ruling and reigning. See, people don't understand. You need to get this, folks. People's minds are messed up. You need to get this thing. How is it that somebody's not even taking the medication and they're getting side effects from a medication that don't exist? Well, it isn't something natural. See, you get overthinking. Well, you're like a person takes something. They're waiting and thinking, well, they're waiting to get something. You know? You know, they've done studies already with people. It's not even giving them medication and tell them they were. And this wasn't a study. This is like placebos, like here with it, and another one's getting medication. Nobody was getting the medication. Numbers of people, they just improved and got better. And they weren't ever getting any medication at all. Nothing was changed in their life. They thought it was. Your thinking will have more to do with you being sick than a little bit. And what you accept and what you do, it's in your thinking. Taking every... He didn't say, just take some thoughts into captivity. Didn't he say every thought? You see, the devil has gotten a real stronghold in these areas, folks. Got a really stronghold in these areas with people. And when people's thinking starts, their talking starts, and their body responds to it.
Come on.
See, when we believe right, believe what God's Word says, what happens? Our words causes our body to come in line with God's Word. God's Word is medicine to all our flesh. So speak what God's Word says. It says it's medicine to your flesh. It's medicine you keep taking. You can't be taking other medicine. You can't be saying other things derogatory to it. And this ain't working.
That's right.
Most Christians are taking 2 and 3 different kinds of medication with their mouth. And it ain't real stuff. But they're saying this, saying that, and saying this over here about God, and then saying this and that over here. And what happened? You're taking medication. You're taking medicine. See, we're in a world today, and I'm going to just tell you what, there's a lot has changed in the spirit realm than it was 30, 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. And the church ain't being told that today. Mm-hmm. There's things that you might have got away with, you ain't getting away with today. I'm going to tell you what, there's things going on in the spirit realm, and if things aren't set back, because people are doing nothing about setting things back. We're just going on with society. We're not of this world.
Amen.
You know, Mike's talking about today a divide. See, that's what the Lord told me back about almost 30 years ago in the last times. He talked about divide, the difference between. See, too much of the church looks just like the world.
Preach.
And he told me about this is going to come. This is what came. It's going to be a divide of who is and who ain't.
Yep, preach.
And boy, we're in it. And this divide has come. And darkness has grabbed into the church deeply. Darkness has grabbed into the church deeply. I mean, they're God's people. Hey, Don, go to heaven. But what happened? There's no divide. The world, there's no difference. See, there's a hatred. You know, if you do walk godly, there's a hatred today. They don't want you, you know. Anything that belongs to God, they don't like it. Why? Because the way things are taught and done, you know. You look at Jesus in his day. He comes to Israel. He comes to them. But look at the difference of the divide in him. He comes and he preaches. He preaches light. Boy, is everybody excited about light? No. But what did he do? He brought a divide. There's people who like the light. They saw it. You know, it's just like out here. We preach today. You can go into a crowd. You can preach to people and tell people. And in that crowd, when light comes, there's some people, they don't like light that exposes what they are. And they don't like that. Then there's these others over here. They say, man, yeah. Whoa. Man, wow, there's something better for me.
Yes.
I can get out of this. You're going to have that. You're not going to go and everybody like it.
Come on.
It's not going to happen. We take light. And I'm going to tell you what. Things that are in darkness many times don't like light shine on it.
Preach.
They don't like light shining on it. And you need to understand. See, this is what Satan brings in darkness. He brings it in and he gets it in. He traps you. He wants to trap you over in that area of darkness. That you have a place in your life where there's darkness. A place that steals, kills, and destroys. He has that place. He wants to get that place in you. Then the rotten guy, now you don't understand about how he operates. Then he'll make you feel guilty about it. Then he makes you. You're the problem now. And what happens? See, people, what happens, people, I don't want this darkness, my darkness exposed. This is what he does. He gets you to hide in that.
Come on.
And whatever, all this area over here you have light in, you can't walk in it freely because he holds you in that place of darkness there on that thing. He robs it. He is a rotten sneak. The whole thing of it is, your deliverance is coming to the light. And that's it. And you come to the light, you know. You find out how you're so bad. I ain't so bad. I'm God's kid. Shut up, amen. Devil, in the name of Jesus. Amen. We ain't going. No. A person will get bound in that.
That's right.
And let him hold them by a lie.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
By what's not true. And let them hold there. You know why he don't want you to come to light? Because he gets exposed.
Amen.
He does. He hates light. You know, he's like a vampire. He got to hide in a coffin somewhere when the sun's up. Because when the sun comes up, he can't take it in the light. I mean, I'm just, that's the way it is. He can't take it in the light. Jesus spoke light, and what happened? I'm going, okay, I'm out of here. The sun's up. Let's go do something else. You know, back to the coffin. See, we got to get people over into right thinking.
Amen.
We need to be more direct with the teaching of the church.
Come on.
We have too much baby teaching.
Yep.
Everybody's all right. Everybody's okay. I'm sorry. There's too much messed up. We got to get this junk off of us. We got to bring, you know, this thing and not let the devil get a hold in us and things. And tell people, it's not to hurt them. Hey, good place in darkness, bring it to the light.
Amen.
Make the devil will flee. He ain't going to flee if you don't resist it because no light will come on it.
Come on.
Whatever stealing, killing, destroying, stop and say, hold it. This isn't God. He's not like this. He doesn't do this.
Yes.
He's interested in my welfare. He's interested in me doing good. Yes. Jesus died on that cross, was raised from the dead for me to be blessed.
Amen.
And so living in the light of that, say, well, this ain't blessing. You know, when the church world teach, you know, you got sick for a purpose. You know, it's like, oh, this is a good thing. See, you weren't redeemed from the curse of the law. That was a lie. And that's not true. He didn't really mean that. Look, the Bible don't make sense naturally. You need to understand this. You're living in two different kingdoms. There's two different kingdoms. And in this earth, you need to understand this. You need to walk in the kingdom of light and don't go over into that other kingdom place.
Amen.
See yourself in the light that you're in. You know, I'm going to read to you in John 8 and 22 and 23. Like sometime I'm going to teach, would like to teach on that whole chapter there. But Jesus, he's talking to these Jews. These Jews liked him at first till he said some certain things. And he talked about, you know, about leaving and that stuff. But the Jews said to him in verse 22, he said, so the Jews said, will he kill himself because he says, where I go, you cannot come? And he said to them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Now I want you to get this fact. That's you today. See, when you got born again, now you're in that place Jesus was. See, Jesus was the only God. He didn't have the sin nature. He's down here walking, and he told them, you guys don't understand, you're from beneath. See, he keeps trying to tell the Jews they got a problem.
Yes.
And they just still don't get it. They think, we got the law, we got Moses. He's over here talking to them, and he says, no, you guys got to understand, hey, I'm not of this world. You need to understand this. You are not of this world if you're a born-again Christian.
Amen.
If you're actually, you are not of this world.
Amen.
This world systems and its rules and regulations, spiritual rules and regulations, don't go with you.
Amen.
Now, we might have laws and stuff in this earth that man makes. This he's talking about from a spiritual standpoint. There's a rule change. These two kingdoms operate under different rules. Under this one here, Satan's defeated. People who are not born again, I don't care if they're your family or whomever, if they're not born again, they are under the authority of the devil. Whether we like to admit it, well, you know, I don't think they're of the devil. They seem pretty nice to me. Well, you're deceived.
Come on, preach.
You're deceived. You need to understand the difference. You can't walk in victory if you don't really understand the kingdoms. You can't walk in victory. You need to understand that you're not of this world. You're here in this world, but you're another kingdom here. There's another rule of authority and place that you walk that the people under this world system run by the devil, who is the god of that system.
Amen.
And he dictates through that system. He dictates, but he can't dictate to you.
Come on.
You have to know, because while you're in here walking through here, he'll try to dictate to you here in this earth if you allow him. And you don't stop and say, hey, hold it, buddy. Uh-uh. You ain't can't have me. Uh-uh. We ain't going there. This is what the Bible says. See, we're talking about putting on armor. Most people don't know the fight they're in.
Amen.
Yes.
They're in a war with everything but what the war ought to be.
That's right.
Let's get ourselves right. We're dealing with demons that have deceived people, and people, they're either dark or light, one or two.
Amen.
This is it. Now, a saint needs to understand this. Most Christians do not have any revelation that they're light.
Come on.
Oh, they use words, but they don't spend any time in the Word. No, we're light. The kingdom of God, Satan is darkness. That's it. Light and darkness, it deals with this. The light and the darkness is what revelation you believe. Whatever is revealed to you. What is your truth? You know, I found out who Oprah Winfrey's truth is, and it ain't in my kingdom. She said, this is my truth. I'm sorry, I don't have Ed's truth. I have God's truth. She has her own religion. And I know what God has you do that. I know that God. I lived under that God. I know what God that is. And I people say, well, she's a good person. Oh, yeah? Well, I'll tell you what. Maybe you'll get to spend an eternity with that good person. You know? See, you need to understand your kingdom. You know, it's really a shame how many Christians really live most of their life in a lot of darkness. And they'll end up in heaven. Heaven's going to be, such a shock to them when they get there. Because it's like, wow, this is what this really is? This is what this kingdom really is? Woo! Because people's expectations are low. Now, I'm going to read in Colossians 1:12. Colossians 1:12 says this. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. See, our inheritance is in the saints in light. See, there's rulers of the darkness in this world. This, what are you? Well, it tells you what you are. This is you. You're the saint. Now see what the devil says, but you don't know. You made mistakes. You did this. You did this. I'm sorry. God qualified me. I did not. I don't qualify myself for the inheritance. Jesus Christ did that. And when I received it, as that's true, now I'm qualified. If it's based on performance, then qualifications nobody has. No, I'm qualified to be a partaker of the inheritance of saints in light. It says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Actually, that word should be authority. He delivered you from the authority of darkness and what? Conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Where have you been? See, you were taken from something and put into something. Here's where the lack of knowledge of Christians have. Christians, I got delivered by sin. Well, what'd you get delivered into? Well, they couldn't tell you. I got delivered from sin, and you know what? I got redeemed from the curse of the law. I got delivered into that. What did you get put in? See, most Christians don't know what they God saved me. Save you to what? Well, He just forgave me my sins, and you know, we're just trying to get pie down here until one day we're going to leave. No. He delivered us to something, but He conveyed us into this kingdom. Not in whom we have redemption through His blood and the forgiveness of sin. We have we are redeemed. In other words, see, you're redeemed from what? The curse of, study the Bible. Redeemed from the curse of law. The Bible tells you things you're redeemed from. People don't try to find out. You know, I just got my sins forgiven. Boy, I'll tell you what. No, God took you out of something. See, that kingdom of darkness, that was all your problems and all your junk over there and all you had. Wouldn't it be something? He brings you in the kingdom and you just drag all the junk along. That's what the church has done generally. They just drug all the junk and said, see, we just have to live with this down here. This is because we're here, you know. We don't live like we belong to another kingdom. The church world, we need to get people into this thinking because they ain't going to, you don't have the armor to stand. You can't stand because people haven't done all, and I'm not criticizing. They've been taught. They ain't taught to stand. You know, I'm going to pray and get everything fixed in 10 minutes. Well, that ain't happening. You can call as many prayer chains as you want, but you ain't going to get everything fixed in 10 minutes. You're going to have to stand sometimes. That's a, and the whole thing is when you come to the tough, you know when you have to stand? The tough stuff. See, the real tough things. And that's where you come and you got to stand. And that's where you have to know. This is where the place, you can't get the devil any place. This is the place where you get down there, where you come, I've done everything. And the devil will say, you didn't do enough. You need to change your diet. You need to do this. You need to do that. And you need to go over here and you need to see that person. And you need to do, and you know what? The person never comes to the place where they're standing. They're always trying to go do something else. No complaint. No, I got it. It's mine. That's it. I'm done with it. Hallelujah. The Lord has set me free. Praise God. And everybody looks and says, well, you don't look like you're set free. That's when you have to learn how to stand. You got to stand out there because people around, they're in darkness. Even Christians are in darkness and say, no, that ain't working. You have to learn to stand. And learn how to stand and not want to shoot them or not yell at them and scream. Just stand and ignore them. You just got to learn to stand. Hallelujah. This is the place you got to go. This is it. There's a war on if you haven't noticed.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
And the more the devil can get you over into activity, the more he can keep you away from standing. Well, I ain't done enough. If I can just confess more and I can just say more. Confession is done for my sake, not God's. God's already declared what He believes. Confession is to hold me in place, not hold Him in place. He said, I just make confession, hallelujah, to strengthen myself and my staff. I can just stand here, hallelujah. Because I believe this, whatever I say, what I believe about the Word, I can just stand here.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Say, well, you just need to do more. You know, because why? It ain't, the reason you don't have it is because you ain't done enough yet. Because if you were really doing enough, it'd already be taken care of, see. Sometimes you can stand long. Hallelujah. There's one thing about learning to stand, it builds character in you.
Amen.
It will. Learn to stand. You want to gain the character of not being a quitter. You want to gain that. I'll tell you, you really need that in the faith life. You know, you got to come through the faith life. Even when you miss it, you don't become a quitter. You just pick it up. Well, I got to do then whatever. If I need to know something else, I'll find that out and we'll do that. You don't ever become a quitter. So many Christians have thrown in the towels over the years. I've watched Christian brothers and sisters. I've come in the kingdom. They've basically thrown in the towel. They go to church and stuff, but it's religious.
Come on.
They've thrown in the towel. I remember when they used to stand. I remember, man, when they were fighters. But you know, things come along and, you know, the battle sometimes gets tough. Thank God. You know, what if our armies would have quit in the Second World War and we just said, well, you know, this is getting pretty hard. Let's go home and let the Nazis have Europe and maybe we can just go over here. And let's send the Japanese a love letter. What do you think? We'll just... what are we going to do? Hallelujah. Sometimes it gets tough. Well, hallelujah. In 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, it's talking about the end times here, but this is a good one for us as Christians. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, and verse 4 and 5 says to us, but you, brethren, are not in darkness so that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor darkness. You see, during the, people talk about the end times. All the time when you go into end times teaching, there's people who get afraid when they hear end times teaching. They're, well, the end of Christ, they get fearful. Why? Because they don't know who they are. I don't. People say, well, you know, we're going to go through the tribulation. I don't care what I go through, God's going to take care of me. Or he's a liar. See, I don't, we don't have to be afraid. He said, why? This stuff, he said, brother, darkness, this darkness ain't going to overtake you because you're the day. Well, what if it overtake me? Well, then the Bible's a lie. It ain't going to overtake you. See, one thing, you're going to find this out. Satan will always, demonic powers will always bring fear. Anybody who's troubled, they have a mind problem with fear, it's because it's demonic. Always. Always. Not sometimes. Always. Fearful thinking. Always. There's demonic powers that are in there, you know, supporting that. Overcoming that thing. Why? Are those thoughts light? Well, I mean, are you the author of darkness? See, you need to sit at dark things that want to bring you fear. Things that want to make you afraid. Everybody has that. Something happens to you. Something happens physically to you that seems maybe has some alarming symptoms. What happens? What comes right away? There's fear will try to come on you about that. Fear will try to come. See, you got to learn to stop those things right away. Say, hey, hold it. God ain't bringing scared to me, because you've heard me say this so many times, I'll say it and say it and say it. There's never been any good decisions made over with fear. Never. There's never been any faith confessions made with fear. People may mimic with their mouth, but if they let that fear grip their heart, they can say what they want with their mouth. Don't let that fear. The devil wants to bring fear to you where you accept it. Don't allow that. Something comes on you, hallelujah. Know what the word says. No, no. Do you ever look in the Bible whenever an angel appeared to somebody, they said, fear not. God didn't show up and said, man, you ought to be scared. You don't know what you did. I saw you. He said, fear not. Hallelujah. So, you know, get that one down for yourself. Fear comes, say, fear not. No, 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 we ain't going there in fear. We're not afraid. Hallelujah. God's bigger than all this junk. You're sons of light. That's what you are. You are sons of light. That's what you are. You're not trying to become. You are. You were created as that. The devil will always come and say, yeah, but you did this. I'm sorry. I'm a son of light. I can do it. You know why? Because you will never find this. You will never find where if you get darkness show up that that darkness will blind the light. You bring light in on a subject into something. You walk into something can be totally. You can walk into a cave would be completely 100% dark. You flip on a light and what happens? Obliterates darkness. The devil will always lie to you about it. You need to come down this thing. You're a child of light. You ain't going to ever live up to be what you don't believe you are. You can never live up to it. If you don't believe you are, you can't get there. See, this is why you confess what you are. You say, I'm a child of light. That's what I am. Light is my nature. We want to live in that place. Hallelujah. There's loads of darkness in this world, hallelujah, but we're children of light. That's just who we are. Doesn't matter what anybody else says about it. Peter wrote this, 1 Peter 2:9. Peter said, but you're what? A chosen generation. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. His own special people that you may proclaim the praises of Him who what? Called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You're a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. This is the church. Now just think about this. I mean, Christians out here living in darkness, yet this is what they are. Are they saying that? No, we're just down here trying to get by and that stuff. This is what we are. We're not trying to become any of this. See, when Satan knows that you understand this of who you are, and you won't, you'll fortify that, you won't let him get away. Yeah, but you know you did. Ain't none of your business. If I messed up, this is between me and my dad. You ain't got nothing to do with it. Shut up. Say, you did this ugly thing, but I didn't do as ugly as you did. You can't ever get saved. You're going to be lost forever. You are. Ha ha. Yeah. How are things going, devil? He'll want to go talk to somebody else. See, I'm a child of light. You know what? I can come over in the light, and the light will obliterate that stupid stuff I did. Amen. He'll cleanse me from all unrighteousness.
Hallelujah.
See, you got to know who you are. When you know who you are, you know who you are. You go right to the shower to clean up if you need to. Why? You got a shower. Devil's kingdom, they ain't got no showers. You just got to live in the dirt all the time.
Yes.
And that's what he wants you to come and live in his dirt. Knowing who you are. You were called out of darkness. Why? You're a chosen generation. You're a chosen generation of people. See, there's this generation. And everybody who gets born again is in this generation. And we talk about generations and God just sort of slumps them all together, you know, because we're all, every Christian, everybody, from the time that people got born again, from that period on, the generation of people. Hallelujah. This is our generation. We're the timeless. You need to understand about you. You as a believer, as a born-again Christian, your spirit does never age. There is no aging. I have not aged spiritually from the standpoint of my spirit is identical to what it was when I got born again. You see, we see too much in the natural. We say the world believes and thinks this way. No, I'm sorry. We haven't changed. We're tied the same as the generation. See, in the realm of the Spirit, there's no time. There's none of that exists. See, we let time really, sometimes it really hampers us spiritually because of the way we think. It can really hinder us. And we don't want that to, don't let that happen. Think about yourself. You're an eternal being. This is what you have. You know, you're a royal priesthood. You just aren't a priesthood. You're a royal priesthood. In other words, he combines the kingship with the priesthood here, is what he does. We're really a priesthood of kings. That's what we are. We're a priesthood of kings. See, did you ever meet a king that didn't have authority? See, it doesn't matter if God made you something, but you don't have no authority. Who cares? But we do. He said, here's where you guys are. You're royal priesthood. You see, Jesus is a royal priest. He's the high priest and King of Kings. Are you in him?
Yes.
Are you his body? Well, see, the scripture's trying to tell. This is what you are. You're never trying to become any of this. Never be trying. This is what you are. Folks, this is armor. If you don't put this stuff on, the devil will deceive. He'll come and trick. If you do this or that, then you can become this. This is the church world is always, if I can reach this great place of spirituality, then I can be this. Or I can. No, it's not. You became all of this the day that you got born again. When you got born again, you became this. This is what you are. Now, we're learning, and what do we want to learn? We want to learn these things so we can walk in the light of it. That's what we're learning about. But we're not trying to get it.
Amen.
You got it.
Hallelujah.
Now, if you're a royal priest, I'm going to tell you what. Now, people say, I have a hard time praying. Aren't you a royal priesthood?
Yeah.
If anybody can communicate and hook up with God, it should be us.
Amen.
No, but see, wrong thinking.
Yes.
I'm sorry. You got to get down thinking. I'm going to tell you. I was designed and you were designed to communicate with God. Well, Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy, his praying's a hard thing, ain't it? I'll tell you. You see what? People don't know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Finding out who you are, not what you're trying to be.
Yes.
It's who you are. These things are the great defense things against Satan coming along and trying to trip you up. Ephesians, and we're going to look at this one here on Ephesians. It says Ephesians wrote in the second chapter of Ephesians. In verse 1, it says, "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin." What happened? See, you were made alive. You were made alive. You're not trying to be alive. You were made that way. He said, "In which what you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." So he's showing that this is what you were, but you're not that. You've been made alive. See, they're over there dead in sin. This is what you came out of. See, the devil tried to tell you, you messed up, so you're trying to work to get there to be alive. No, you are alive. You've been made alive. Verse 3, "Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others." This is what you were, not what you are. He told you what you are. You're alive. This is what you are. You're alive. What's this over here? This is darkness. He says, no, you're not this. This is what you were. The devil will try to convince you that this is what you are. And you're trying to get made alive. You're trying. You're working at this. See, you got to work at being made alive. No, you're made alive. God made you alive.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Listen to what he says. "Even when you were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with him. By grace you've been saved." See, when you were all in that rot, when you accepted Jesus, you was made alive in Christ Jesus. Remind the devil of that. Who you're in. So many Christians live alone. They don't live like they're in Christ. They don't talk like they're in Christ. They're trying to get there. People are trying to get to the presence of God and trying to get to something. My God, what he's given us.
Amen.
But he raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Hallelujah. Raised us up together. God considers when Jesus was raised, you were too. See, you were raised from... See, when Jesus was raised, everybody gets into the physical life thing. No, it was the spiritual. He was raised from spiritual death to spiritual life. He took our sins and became black. He went into the darkness for our sins and was punished for them. And if we receive him in his resurrection, we ain't going to get punished for that junk. He did it. So why? See, we were raised together. God identifies you that you were raised with Christ. When he was raised from the dead, you were. See, put on that identity. Put that thing on of the place that you stand in him. Raised together with him. Where are you sitting together in heavenly places? Where do you sit? See, the place you sit is where your authority lies. Your authority does, it lies, you sit in heavenly places. The devil will just try to keep showing you you're earthly like everybody else down here running around. You're just an earthly thing. See, if you identify yourself as just the earthly down here, that's not who you are. See, we're so focused down here, we're so focused on the natural and on the body and how things look and everything else. Don't know who we are. We're trying to make a form and stuff of ourselves that's pleasing to everybody else and don't see what on earth God's working in us.
Yes. Amen.
Seeing who I really am down here. That I have eternal life. I'm not trying to get none of it.
Yes.
When I leave this world, whether I head out in age or whatever it is, it doesn't matter however that is, I'm going to be with Jesus. Why? That's my place.
Amen.
That's my place. I'm not trying to get to heaven.
Nope.
It's just the natural consequences of leaving this flesh.
Amen.
And as I age, it's looking more and more wonderful to leave this stupid thing here. It's not because it's causing me trouble. It's because I see how good it is over there.
Amen.
As most preachers are hanging onto this earth with both hands and their toes gripped into the ground, trying to stay here because they, I need something here. Good grief. Lord Jesus, come quickly. We're not hanging on, folks.
Amen.
See, if you see this, you get these revelations, it puts a longing in you. It divides and makes a separation of what the world is. You don't end up, I don't hate the people of this world, but I recognize who they are. You don't. People don't recognize evil in this earth. They don't, can't even see it.
Come on.
Christians don't even see the evil.
Preach.
They don't notice it.
Preach.
I mean, it has to be something real drastic, and yet really ugly evils around them, but they don't know. Because this stuff shines light, hallelujah. And it separates us. It makes us in the place, hallelujah. See, we were singing about holy is the Lord. The Lord's holy.
Amen.
You know, I saw a thing in an article. I was reading this guy. And they're these really wild rock guys. Or, I mean, these guys, I mean, they're just straight around. I mean, tattooed face ahead. They say, well, we're Christians, and this is what we're using to reach people. I'm going to tell you, he was talking about people don't understand and all that stuff. This is God's working. I'm sorry. I can't see Jesus like that.
That's right.
You know, number one, let me just say this to you. You don't want to sit around drawing attention to yourself. People and all this tattooing and junk going on is to draw attention from other people. They put it out. Now, why they do it on their face? The devil got them doing their face. Why? So people notice you. I don't care if people like talking this about this or not. There's a holiness to the Lord.
That's right.
And holiness to the Lord is, let's magnify Him. You know? It's not, we're not trying to magnify any certain type of music or anything like that. We're magnifying Jesus. What brings glory to Him? What magnifies Him? And you know, getting up in front of people acting crazy and jumping all around and doing stuff like that, that's the flesh. And I'm going to tell you what, you bring people in the kingdom under it, and that's what you're going to get.
Come on.
There will not be holiness to the Lord. You will not go to heaven and find that junk.
Amen. Come on.
People better understand this. See, we've got into accepting, and you know, people, yeah, you know, we just got to accept everybody. They're the way they are. No, they ain't. There's things that you don't accept. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you what, when I had the experience when Jesus came into my car and His holiness, I'm going to tell you what, His holiness ain't nothing like I ever expected in my life. I heard people talk about holy. Dear God, it is so phenomenal. I'm serious. My flesh couldn't stand it in its own. My flesh could not stand it. And all that I could think of when I said, I thought, oh my God, He is so holy. He is so holy. It's like, whoa. Your spirit can be in His presence, but I'm going to tell you what. If Jesus showed up in His holiness manifest, I'm going to tell you, ain't nobody could take it here. You couldn't take it. Because your flesh ain't holy.
Amen.
Do you ever notice why people get caught up to heaven? They don't get caught up in their body. Their body stays here. Why? Because they'd have to stay there and they get up because they took their body up and kill it. they'd have to stay there. See, your spirit can go in the presence of God. Your flesh can. See, you've got to be changed. It got to be changed. Can't be this dogged out thing down here. You know, anybody gets up to heaven, they get a new body. They ain't going to be walking around in weird tattoos and all kind of stuff thing here. 27 nose rings and... ain't going to be happening. We're priests of God.
Amen.
I'm going to think about yourself being a priest of God. I'm not a priest of men. I'm a priest of God. I can represent men. But I'm a priest of God, standing in the presence of God. See, from the natural standpoint, you had Israel, and the priest stood. And if he didn't have everything right, he died.
Mm-hmm.
There's no fear that Christians have about the presence of God. And if we don't have a good, healthy fear, and it's a healthy fear about the presence of God, you won't get prayers answered, you won't get things that won't happen for you, because you take God as being frivolous. Our God's not frivolous.
Preach. Say that again.
He's holy.
Amen.
And the only reason I'm holy is because of Him. I sure can never attain to anything to make me holy.
Amen.
And so you want to walk and you want to live in that place that holiness. I'm going to finish reading this here in Ephesians. The fourth verse says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Raised us up together. Made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What's the purpose? That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. I want you to get this. He made us this because he has a future for us. He made, because nobody that is in this is not going to see that future.
Yes.
That future is made because of what we are, not what we're going to become. You get to heaven, you ain't going to become nothing more than what God made you. God made you all this stuff here. You get to heaven, you're what it is. Hallelujah. You're already. Hallelujah. The place was already designed for you. The place was already made. See, we need to get our thinking straightened out in these areas. Hallelujah. Because when the devil comes and tries to deceive you into saying you're something other than, this is your defense. These things are your defense. You stop and say, hey, hold it, buddy. Mm-hmm. You understand who you're talking to?
Amen.
You ain't talking just to anybody. I'm in a kingdom that licked you, boy.
Amen.
You don't want to cross over here, you'll get whooped again.
Amen.
Say, wasn't that licking Jesus gave you enough? He'll say, yes, that was good. We'll see. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know if I preach you happy, I preach more. I'll tell you, see who you are. Get this stuff in you because we're dealing with an adversary who hates you, who wants to destroy you and keep you from believing what you really are. Hallelujah. You can stand. You get yourself in that. I can stand because of who I am. I can stand. Hallelujah. God will make you stand. Hallelujah. You believe the word for you? He'll make you stand.
Amen.
I don't care what the devil says.
Amen.
He'll make you stand. Glory to God. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord God. Lord, I just want to thank you for bringing light on these wonderful, wonderful, glorious revelations of Scripture. And Lord God, as we see these things, hallelujah, all I can say to you is, you're phenomenal. You're incredible. There's nothing like you. That you would do such a thing for humanity. That you would, the fact that we would call on all what Jesus did and we become what he is.
Lord,
that, Lord, I realize that people are trying to make sense of this thing, but Lord God, there's no natural way to make sense that somebody would get all of this for the works of someone else. Hallelujah. But it was given to us freely. And I just want to thank you today, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord God, open the eyes of our understanding, Lord God, that we see and know, Lord God, the tactics of our enemy. Lord, we can stand against these things. Lord, when you told the disciples, I'm only going to leave you comfortless. Hallelujah. I'm going to send you the comforter, not a comforter. I'm sending you the real thing. Hallelujah. That belongs to you. The real one. Hallelujah. Because of what I made you. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost can come and live in you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I thank you, Lord God, we're one with the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The great teacher, the great empower, the great Lord God, the one, and all of these things, he gives comfort to us. Hallelujah. Lord, that in this place we can stand. Hallelujah. We're not trying to stand, we can. Your word will always uphold us. And I just thank you, Father God. Father, as we see these things, we're going to walk in this glory that you prepared for us before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, if anything as we need in this earth is in the church, Lord God, a revival of the light of the Word of God. Of the light shine forth in the church. Hallelujah. That again we see these wonderful truths. Lord, I want to thank you for these truths that were put in me back when I was a young Christian to see these things. Lord, and I can see today that many, many in your, they're your people, Lord God, and you love them. Hallelujah. And they have stumbled through life and Lord, going through, Lord God, the light would come forth. And Lord God, any of the new people that come in, Lord God, that we would share these truths. Put them right out there, Lord God. Not waiting and said, oh, just go read the Gospel of John. No, let's teach them these wonderful scriptures that were written to the church. Church, hallelujah. They belong to the church. And give them the letters of the church of the glory of God in the church. Hallelujah. Lord God, that they rise up bold warriors, hallelujah, standing against the wiles of the devil, hallelujah, going forth in victory in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Lord God, we want the giant to get up, hallelujah. We want the giant to rise up, and that giant is the church of Jesus Christ, hallelujah. And you made it that way, and we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Whew.
Hallelujah.